Blog Talk Radio.
The question is, we are standing at a crossroads. What do you do? Real sweet, when a fork is in the road.
When a fork is in the road, what do you do?
When the world is on your shoulders.
When the world is on your shoulders, what do you do?
When your back is up against the wall.
When your back is up against the wall.
Come on.
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
You hold on.
You hold on.
And keep the faith.
And keep the faith.
Tell somebody in your room. Say,
keep the faith.
Come on. Tell somebody sitting around you. Keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
Thank you.
Whatever you do, keep the faith. Whatever you do, keep the word of God before you. Hallelujah. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask Pastor Bill if she would give us a word of prayer, and then we'll pick up where we left off yesterday.
Amen, amen. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you, Pastor, for that selection. Keep the faith. Amen, amen. I like what the word said. They said victory is ours if we just keep the faith. Amen, amen. Scripture is coming from Matthew 21 and 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for another day, thanking you for this broadcast, Father God, and thanking you for the listeners and those that participate and those that are listening by internet. Father God, we just want to give you thanks, and as the song says, for us to keep the faith, no matter what it looked like, no matter the situation, no matter what the enemy tried to bring to us that's negative, the song and your word tells us to keep the faith, but we're to trust in you, Lord, and lean not to our own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge you, and you shall direct our path. So, Father God, we just want to stand on the word. We're thanking you for the word at noon, that we can take this time to draw closer to you and open up our hearts to receive this word, Father God, and not doubt, but stand on the promises of God. So, Lord, help us as our pastor teaches this word. Let us receive it into the lining of our hearts, and that way it will not be taken away from us. So, Father God, we just ask that you bless each and every one today, Father God, for you know their hearts and what they're going through, Father God. We ask that you give them a peace of mind, ask that you will heal them if they stand in need of a healing. Be with them as they're going through, Father God, because you're a way maker out of no way, Father God. And Lord, continue to be with our pastor as he teaches this word and make it plain to us, Father God, and if we have any questions, we can ask him, Father God, and he will take us right to the word of God and give us that answer. So, Lord, just help us to receive it and just open up to your word today, Father God. We bind up anything and everything that may try to come up against our pastor, the listeners, and those that participate, Father God, even those that are listening by internet, we bind up anything, Father God, that may try to hinder this word from going forth. We ask that you will be with those that are sick and shut in, Father God, and we just thanking you for the testimonies that have gone out, that those that have been healed, and they have shared that, and we just thanking you, Lord, for your word being faithful and true, because they put their trust in you and they were healed, Father God. Be with those that are bereaved and those that are struggling. Lord, we know that you will keep the imperfect peace as long as they keep their mind stayed on you. So, Father God, us all have to keep our mind on you. Be with the unspoken prayer requests. You know what they're going through. You know what they're seeking. You know what they're asking you for, Father God. They may not have let Pastor know. They may not have let me know. But you know, so Lord, we just asking that you will grant it to them, Father God, and that they will have a testimony for you. So Lord, we just thanking you today, as that you will have your way with the word, with the lesson, and with each and every one of us. And we asking it all in Christ Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Evangelist Sharon, are you able to read? Okay.
Yes, Pastor, I am able to read. Good afternoon to everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We want to start where we left off yesterday. We were supposed to go to Ephesians 6, but so that everybody be on the same page, our subject yesterday and today, maybe the rest of this week, it's about fighting this good fight of faith. So in 1 Timothy 6 and 12, would you like to go there first? 1 Timothy
yes,
6 and 12. The King James Version, and Pastor, if you be so kind to read it out of the Messenger Bible.
Okay, Pastor.
Thank you for that selection, and thank you for that beautiful prayer. In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, it reads as follows, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen."
Amen, amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible. Run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embrace in the presence of so many witnesses. Amen.
Amen.
We are responsible for our own fight.
Mhm. All right.
I know it's good to think that, hey, man, this is a corporate thing. It's good to think we got brothers and sisters, and it's good to know that pastor is there. It's good to know evangelist is there. It's good. But listen, brother and sister, you got to fight your own fight. And it's called a good
Amen.
Fight. And that's what it's about.
Yes.
It's about you keeping the faith, about you. And let me say something, too, because I said this on yesterday, and I think it's worth saying today. The battle of faith is with the sense knowledge, reasoning. See, man's word has been at war with God's word, even since the beginning in the garden. And I don't have to go through that, but you know, it has been a battle there. So the real struggle today is that every believer must wage with this sense knowledge that's governed the human race.
All right.
So he says, I say to you, walk by faith. Walk by the Spirit of God, that you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we're commissioned, we're commanded to be responsible, and especially when it comes down to this fight. Over in Ephesians 6, I think we stopped off at 12, maybe 6. We're going to read Ephesians 6, and let's read 4-18. It gives a picture of our spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
It's our warfare. It's our fight.
Yeah.
Christ have already defeated the devil, but now he is your adversary, and he's like a roaring lion, because you can't say, well, oh, I'm in Christ, so I don't have nothing to do. No, you have some responsibility here. If you're going to stand, you're going to have to fight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to give us a good idea of what we're going to deal with for today anyway. Would you like to read, be so kind to read Ephesians 6, 4-18?
Yes. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. From the Message Bible. Fathers, don't. It's, oh dear. Well, I'm going to start with the children. I know that they're your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartedly as Christ's servant, doing what God wants you to do, and work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no master who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master, regardless of whether you are slave or free. Masters, it is the same with you. No abuse, please, and no threat. You and your servants are both under the same master in heaven. He makes no distinction between you and them. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best material, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, yes. Righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word, indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open keep each other's spirit up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Well, in this, there's a spiritual war going on. We're in a warfare. I like the idea that he starts talking from every perspective. He says the commandments to the children, to obey their parents. See, these are things we have to do. We're responsible. Mm-hmm. Children have to honor their parents.
Yes.
And he talked about the reason why the children should do that. Because he said it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
And blessing will flow from that. Also, it's long life in that. He tells parents, don't provoke your children. So all of these are commandments, but it's a fight. It's a fight. Mm-hmm. And you got to be honest. If you'll be honest with yourself, it's a fight trying to be a parent. Nowadays, there was a time you could, because of different laws and different things. But if you talk back to your parents during my day, you find yourself picking yourself up, if you could, or somebody helping you.
Amen.
So it's a struggle even for children. And you got to teach them to obey the word of God, because that becomes the rule of thumb. That becomes what you do by obeying the word of God. But anyway, I'm going to get to the part I want to get to. But I just want to mention that out of these 12 commandments, he said, be strong in the Lord. And you might want to get a pencil and write some of these things down. We won't get into depth today, but maybe before the week's out. Because if I just talked about being strong in the Lord, you have to die for that to happen. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, you're going to have to die and use his strength. Use all that. He says, be strong in his power. Not your ability, but his ability. And the part I guess I really like when he says to put on the whole armor of God. Stop half-dressing.
All right.
Can you imagine somebody, especially you women? I mean, I know they about half naked, but they ain't walking out the house without a dress, just in their panties. They ain't doing that. Unless something wrong with them. So you got to put the whole outfit on. They got outfits now you can see through, but they make sure they put the bottom, even though they kind of lace-looking things. But they still have to put the whole thing on, because if they don't, they'll be naked. I hope I'm making sense of what I'm trying to say. But you got to put the whole thing on. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Put the whole thing. A lot of times they don't want to put the whole. And then he says to stand. And when you've done all to stand therefore. And then he says to have your loins girt with truth. Brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how important that is to walk in truth. Because the enemy, if you want to fight this fight, he wants you to walk in lies. He don't want you to walk in truth. Because, see, he don't see the word of God as being truth. He sees the word of God as being some book. So you have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet sold with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's important. Not any kind of gospel, but the gospel that's going to keep peace. Then he says, take the shield of faith, which above all, take the shield of faith. Whatever you do, take the shield of faith, because that's what you're going to need to fight with.
And
take the helmet of salvation, and take the sword of the Spirit, which happens to be the word of God. And then he says, and pray in the Spirit. That's praying in what the word of God says, you know, and watch and pray. Let me tell you what, brother and sister, you can't pray with your eyes closed. That's all religious stuff. You pray with your eyes open. How you going to watch and pray if your eyes closed? See, that's just another lie Satan has taught us. Oh, now see, if you watch as well as pray, so while you pray and watch. But anyway, those are things that Yes, as you fight this fight of faith, and it's a good fight. But before you can really understand that, what it means to fight the good fight of faith, there should be a study in faith. So first of all, we won't do the whole story, but let's read John 6:14. And as you find John 6:14, to understand faith, you really have to do a study so you'll know what faith is. Because there's just too many scriptures that go along where Jesus says, if you have faith, people be thinking, oh, okay, pray for faith. You don't pray for faith. God ain't never told nobody to pray for faith. And I know what people said. There was a man who said, increase my faith. And there was another one said, oh, you're a little faith. I get all of that. But just let me tell you what. Faith is the word of God. God wants us to believe. He wants us to act on his word. That's what faith really is. So once the person asked, Jesus said, I hadn't seen such great faith in all of Israel. Why? Because he acted on the word of God. That's what faith is acting on the word of God. Because faith is the word of God. So we're going to do a little study in the word of God, or a little study about faith, which is the word of God. So the reason faith is so difficult is the sense knowledge has gained the ascendance in our educational and religious life. Since knowledge has all come through our physical and our contact of the world. That's how we've got most of our knowledge. It's through the five senses. We've learned to trust so utterly in our eyes and in our ears and in our touch and in our smell and in our taste that spiritual things are not hard to understand. It is so easy to believe in these things we see. That's why it's so easy for folks to believe and act on what they see rather than. But before today, I hope that we understand that the spiritual things are more real than the natural things, okay? But in John 6:14,
it reads as following in King James, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of truth that perfect that should come into the world. Amen.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, the people realized that God was at work among them in what Jesus had just done. They said, this is for sure God's prophet right here in Galilee. Amen.
Yeah, you see, the crowd said about Jesus because it was what they could see. They need to see something. They need to feel something. They need to touch something. Remember over there in John 20, 28 through 29, we'll read that because I want you to know about Thomas a little bit. See, eventually we're going to get to this study about faith, but I have to point out some things. These people saw the miracles with their eyes, so then they believed. And most Christians, that's what they expect. If I could just see it. That's why I think Evangelist Renee ought to show everybody her feet. Before and after. Before and after. And then maybe some people believe. And then along with her testimony. But that was a fight she had to fight. She had to fight against the doctor. She had to fight against her own children. Well, Mama, you should go ahead on. Because, you know, and your aunties and all these other folks. Shit, that was a fight for her. Then she had to fight against the doctors. And then she had to fight internally to say, well, let me see if I should do this or not because everybody going to laugh at me, especially if I don't do something about it. But she fought the good fight of faith. That's where it starts at, brothers and sisters. You have to stay on that word. Every day she would confess that word. Mm-hmm. But see, people only going to believe what they say. They couldn't believe that she had told them she was healed. They weren't believing it. So God let it come to fruition. But read, if you will, St. John 20 and 28 to 29.
And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. Thomas said, My Master, my God. Jesus said, So you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. Amen.
Yeah, Thomas fell down at his feet when he saw the wonder side and the holes in his hands and in his feet. He said, Lord, I believe now. Jesus said, blessed are you, Thomas. See, because you've seen it. You've seen mm-hmm. it.
Yes.
But how about those that have not seen it?
Yes.
It's far better. They mm-hmm. operated in faith. And most people today, let me tell you what, faith has to be independent of sense knowledge. I was going to talk a little bit about Thomas, but I'm going to go ahead and finish this. Maybe we'll come back to Thomas. Because a lot of people call Thomas Doubting Thomas, and they don't really know the story. Thomas mm-hmm. Was called that, but that's so unfair because he was doubted. But in his doubt, he had purpose. He wanted to know the truth. Thomas did not analyze his doubt. He gladly believed when he given reason to believe. See, he hadn't been given a reason to believe, but now he had a reason to believe. So he expressed his doubt fully and had the answer completely. Doubting was his only way of responding, not to his way of life, but if I would really get into Thomas, I'd spend the rest of the day here. But I'm going to put the pen there and maybe doing a review or whatever, or even when Thursday, I'll share that about Thomas with you. But anyway, what I want you to see is that Thomas had to, you know, touch it to believe it. That's where his faith was at. And a lot of people is into that. If I see it with my eyes, see, all of that kind of stuff, brothers and sisters, is sense knowledge. It causes unbelief when it comes to the Word of God. People choose to believe what they can see. Read Hebrews 11 and 3, and we're going to move on. In Hebrews 11 and 3, did I lose it?
I'm sorry, Pastor. Did you say something?
I think I lost Evangelist Sharon. Can you read Hebrews 11 and 3? Oh, I can.
Okay. Hebrews 11 and 3 from the King James. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. And I'll get it, send a message by. Let's see here. Hebrews. Eleven three from the Message Bible. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. what we see created by what we don't see. Amen.
Yeah. See, if God acts on the word of God, we have to act on the word of God. This is part of your new life. Your new life is requires us to act on the word of God. So we got to hold forth the word of life. If you're in this fight, it is only by acting on the word of God that a man can receive eternal life. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary that the unsaved man come into contact with the living word of God, and he is made, I guess you could say, he realized his need for eternal life. And until a person really kind of come in contact with the word of God, he'll never come to that place. So there's no way you can effectively know God without knowing the word. The word from the lips of someone else who really believes it. So then the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except people got to hear the word of God? So when we read Philippians 2:15-16, that ye may become blameless and harmless, the children of God without blemish in the midst of a corrupt and crooked and perverse generation among whom ye seem as light of the world. So he says for us to hold for the word of God. We have to hold forth the word of life. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to be honest with you. Your life should mean more to you than to put it in the cares of somebody else.
Say that.
Your life should be more than religion. Your life that you're fighting for. You're fighting for your life.
Yeah. Amen.
And the life that you now live is in Christ. And you have to fight to save it. Because it's all around us. It's all around us. Because you're dealing with all kinds of people, with all special classes of men. Now, I could go on and on and on. But you're going to have to approach this new life in a new and living way, according to Hebrews 10:20. It's a new and living way. And this way is by faith. In other words, you got to have ownership of your own faith now.
Yeah.
Your confidence has to be in faith.
Yes.
Know that whatever you ask the Father for in Jesus' name, he's going to give it to us. I know that because he has that authority to do that. But it's just certain things we ought to act like. If you're a child of God, act like it. Yeah. See, every time Satan shows his ugly head, Jesus let him know that he's been defeated. And we have to act the same way. But you have to become responsible by walking in the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you don't need no law. We read a scripture yesterday. Actually said that. It said it in the Messenger Bible. If you're in the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, you don't need the law. And it makes a lot of sense to me when you know where your warfare is at, because you will be persecuted on earth. All kind of things going to come against you.
Amen.
I'm going to say this, and we'll bring it to a close. Satan is after the baby. When in the book of Revelation, this woman produced a baby, which happened to be Christ. And since then, he's been fighting this woman, which happens to be the church. But I won't get into it today. But I want you to know there's a fight to the finish, brothers and sisters. This is not no one round or two rounds. It's a fight to the finish. But it's a good fight because you know what? You can always use the word of God to hammer the devil with. That's if you come out of the world. Now, if you're still in the world, then you're still under his control. But remember, Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world, because if it had been of this world, he said, my servants would fight for me. So it's the same thing with us. We're in Christ. We're not going to be delivered to Satan. See? But anyway, appreciate each and every one of y'all. Well, we're going to take a few minutes. Anyone have anything they want to share? It's a Renee.
Okay.
It's a Renee.
I'm sorry, Pastor.
Let's press one. You, Pastor, you said something?
Yes, but I didn't want to overspeak you. You were saying something?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to read Philippians 1, verses 27 through 30 from God's Word. And the subtitle is saying, Fighting for the Faith. It says, Live as citizens who reflect the good news about Christ. Then, see you or whether I stay away, I'll hear all about you. I'll hear that you are firmly united in spirit, united in fighting for the faith that the good news brings. So don't let your opponent intimidate you in any way. This is God's way of showing them that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved. God has given you the privilege not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for him. You are involved in the same struggle that you saw me having. Now you hear that I'm still involved in it. So that was Paul when he's fighting the, when you were talking about fighting for faith. And I like that part where it says, don't let your opponent intimidate you in any way.
Yeah.
And that's the,
see,
that's
the
end.
The devil is like a roaring lion.
Amen.
He's got to see, he takes about, you know, that's what he's like. And, but it just so happened, we're fighting the good fight of faith. And, and you have to constantly go there. You have to constantly say what the word of God say. And then you can rejoice that you saying it, because you know God is going to back up his word when, and it's a spiritual war. That's the other thing we'll get into. People don't know there's different levels of this spiritual war. And so you may finish over here, but you're going to have to deal with it over there. You know, Jesus never stopped fighting. Now, I'm going to say this for real, and I'm going to call it quick, but I got to do this. Jesus had a war. If it wasn't on the land, it was on the sea. Remember, on the land, he had to deal with that lunatic. He was battling there. He leave land, go to the sea, and the wind start blowing, and the ocean start raging. And it was always, then he got to the grave of Lazarus. It was always war. And so it is with us, brothers and sisters. You're going to deal with an everyday thing. But, hey, this is what it's about, fighting for your salvation, keeping the faith. Jesus could have said, you know what? Let me let all this go. This is too much. Even though he was God, he was man in the flesh, and he was God in the spirit. And we have to see our lives the same way by walking in the spirit, and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't say, well, okay, I'm going to take what my mind say, or I'm going to go with this. No, you're going to go with what the word of God is saying every situation.
Yes. Amen.
You all on tomorrow.